Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 30th of January, recording at 9:18 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. The big story, with a surprise for most economists apparently, was that the U.S. economy contracted by 0.1% in the fourth quarter of 2012, and that caused some concerns here and had some interesting knock-on benefits here, including helping to support the precious metal markets. More on that in a few moments. Now, in Asia, we had very strong performances generally. I think everything was up except for Malaysia's KLCI index, and Japan's Nikkei 225 increased by 2.28%, helped by a softer yen. The Shanghai Composite was up 1%, and New Zealand, which has been on a tear as well, up 1.13%. Now, that's interesting because it surged back to its 2007 highs, but it still yields 4.28%. So my feeling is that relative to the 2007 highs, while that's a psychological resistance area which may hold New Zealand up for a while, but the valuations have improved since then, and I would bet that it's higher at year-end than it is today. Now, European indices eased, mostly with small losses. The exception and the catalyst to that was Spain. Now, Spain fell a rather large 3.36% because it's underperforming offshore drilling pipeline company Saipem. Fell 34% apparently, saying that its profits would be 50% below estimates. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street slipped 0.5%. Brazil fell more, 1.17%. In currencies, the dollar's a bit soft, but range-bound here overall. The euro has retained its firmness. It's currently at 1.3566 against the U.S. dollar. The Aussie is hovering around just above the 104 level against the greenback. Sterling slightly firmer in here today, up to 158. Those are the main stories in the West, although I also mentioned Australia. But we see firmness again here today in the Korean won, and the Korean won had been very, very strong until recently, when it started to succumb to the yen weakness, because that's created a lot of concern in Korea and elsewhere. That we would see more competitive pressures here as a result of the Japanese moving progressively here to weaken their currency overall. I actually think they're going to continue to do that, but the most important thing we can all do is just to monitor the chart, because I wrote and discussed some time ago that the first explosive upside move that we had seen in the yen would give way to a ranging upward trend, which would be slower. And you can see that on the chart now. And there are sort of stories going around that against the dollar, and the yen right now is at 91, and there are stories that Shinzo Abe would be happy to see it around 94, 94 and a half. Some people have also written that there might be an overshoot. Well, My hunch is the Shinzo Abe wants the yen considerably weaker. I mean, you're not going to come in, I don't think, and do what he's doing and just settle for the weakening of the yen that we have seen, for the simple reason that the yen was a powerhouse concern currency for years and years and years. And the Japanese resisted the temptation to weaken it, but it was taking an increasingly heavy toll on Japan's economy, not least for the exporters. I mean, it really eviscerated the exporters. And so that's a turnaround story, and it makes Japan hugely, hugely interesting overall. Now, I think Japan will remain interesting, and there are so many exporters. If you think of companies like Sony, and you look at on the long-term charts in the library, kind of look at a historic chart. And you see this enormous decline, and there are plenty of others like that as well. And they're bouncing back very sharply, not surprisingly. So I think this is a story that's going to run for quite some time. Now, it would be a political blunder for Shinzo Abe to be too bold or precise about some of the levels that he about the level that he would have in mind for the yen target overall, because there would be plenty of protests. So I think coming from competitor nations, so I think that it'll be a softly, softly approach overall. And having seen a very big move. Really, since December, I think that we may see a slower rate of advance overall, which would be less unnerving, I think, for the markets and various observers. But I certainly expect a weaker yen and a stronger Japanese market. And to the forefront here, we have sectors that have been out of favor for such a long time. And those include banking shares, Japanese banking shares. Japanese real estate companies have shown excellent relative strength since this yen weakness commenced. And also, of course, last but not least, the export sector overall. It's a really interesting story. Now, the other Asian interesting story, which I've talked about almost daily and will continue while these remain top performers is China, and that remains really very firm in here overall. And I would not be surprised to see China move up for a couple of years at minimum here. And I think we've only seen the beginning of this move overall. Now, if China does continue to perform, the country that's going to benefit most of all from that, I suspect, is Australia. And Australia's miners would do exceptionally well. It wouldn't be bad for Brazil either, but there are a lot of concerns over the governance in Brazil right now. So China, which remains a high-yielding market, is, as I say, is an obvious beneficiary. Now, another market in Asia that I haven't mentioned for a while is Vietnam, and it's been on a bit of a tear here recently. And Vietnam is really quite cheap, it has a decent yield. I think it's still over 4%. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure that's right. But the problem for Vietnam had been that commencing in early 2008, I think around the second quarter, if not sooner, the Vietnamese decided to devalue to devalue their currency, and they did it in a series of steps, and that really continued until a couple of years ago, but subsequently it's remained pegged against the US dollar. And it took investors a long time to forgive, international investors at any rate, to forgive Vietnam for doing that. But we've seen, a sharp rally. And I think that's going to be one of the top overall performers in here this year as well. Last but not least, we're getting some drift away from bonds. And this is despite all the QE that's still going on in these high debt level government bond markets, with the Fed, for instance, pumping in $85 billion a month in terms of its quantitative easing, dividing that up between mortgage bonds and the U.S. Treasuries. But people are starting to drift away, and I've been saying for a while that we had classic bubbles here, that the only real bubbles in these markets were in the government bonds, and I think that's still the case. They may well hold around these levels for a while longer, given all the QE, but I think the smarter investors are already moving away. They don't want to see too much more profit erosion, although they were fairly complacent, understandably, if you go back three or four months. Now, an interesting side effect of this is what will happen with that money that comes out of bond markets. And I suspect that most of it will go into equities. It may go into equity bonds, already has to a certain extent, but I think it may also go into the actual shares themselves, and possibly a little trickle of that going into precious metals, reviving the safe haven appeal, which has taken a beating in the last couple of years. And on that note, all the best to all of you.